Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Here we are again with another episode of Multiple Voices. I have here today with me, and I'm going to let them say hello as soon as I tell you who it is. I have Eric and Laova. Say hello, guys.
Hello. It's excellent to be here.
I'm so glad we were able to organize this. They have a podcast too. They have their own show. The title of the show is The Spirit World Center Podcast. And very little about them. They're from Canada. They're talking to me from Canada today. And I will be asking them questions about their podcast that I have watched, but, you know, things that are under the surface. So let's start. First of all, how did you two meet? Now, this is not, I don't want to, you know, punch below the belt. I just want, how did you meet Laova? How did you meet Eric?
Oh, this is the awkward part, right? Online dating, actually.
Good for you.
So we're a very modern couple.
Good for you. Good. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Laova, where did you come from? Where do you come from? From Canada originally or?
Quebec, yes.
Quebec.
I was born in Quebec.
And,
you I moved in Ontario.
Oh, then you moved to Ontario. And Eric, where were you born originally? From Canada? In Canada?
Yep. I was born in Oshawa, Ontario.
And, oh, where is that exactly?
That's about half an hour east of Toronto.
Yeah,
kind of in that greater Toronto area.
Okay.
Yeah,
so now, what's a nice couple like you doing in a place like the Spirit World Center podcast? What brought you to that? You mentioned before we started recording that you teach shamanism and you have a lot to do with the paranormal, and that is what actually has brought us together. I do much of the same. But the shamanistic world is a world that, for me, and this is, you know, controversial, is saying the same thing with different words. Okay, so go ahead, you have the floor. What is it that you do?
Oh, well, ultimately, we very much feel that we were drawn together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had been looking for something for a long, long time, each of us. And
you and Laova? Together,
yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like when we encountered each other, it was just a natural fit and uh-huh. just brought so much together and ultimately led to a very interesting set of shamanic initiations within the first month of knowing each other.
Okay, so maybe you would like to define that for us, because a lot of my listeners don't know the term shamanism and shamanic initiations. What does that entail?
Certainly. The way that I like to define shamanism is, I find it very simple, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I like to make a distinction between shamanism and the cultural practices of any particular group. Right.
Okay.
So shamanism itself is not, let's say, Native American religion. Right.
Uh-huh.
So I like to focus on that, because otherwise some really, some cultural appropriation starts happening, which, you know, we very much take a firm stance against. And ultimately, shamanism is a term that refers to a very old approach to spirituality, one of the oldest, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in essence, entering trance and interacting with the spirit world.
Okay.
And this is something that comes naturally to humans, right? Entering trance. It's something that happens actually to our neurology, right? To our nervous system. We can enter trance very easily by listening to drumming, also by taking certain plant medicines, but also shamans throughout the history have used a lot of different techniques for entering trance, including sensory deprivation or staying up for 3 days straight to pass out. Like a lot of different ways to act upon the nervous system to enter that deep trance.
So let me stop you. You'll have to forgive me for interrupting every now and then. But when you describe it that way, it brings to mind vibration, a soul's vibration and a vibration rate. And there are substances, like you say, that can be taken for the soul to have that vibration. It is an increased vibrational rate. Then you also said that that will allow them to connect with, discuss, communicate with the spirit world. Now, in my world, we call that mediumship. If it is, if the communication is given to someone else, then you act as a medium. But it's called differently if you just communicate on your own, you're in your home and you chat with the spirits. Is that different from what you're talking about?
You know, it's an interesting point that you raise. Ultimately, the word shamanism is something that anthropologists started using in the 19th century to refer to what was happening in the Tunguska tribe in Siberia, and they applied it to everywhere where that kind of trance entering was happening. And myself, you know, we are kind of forced to use the word shamanism because people know what it is, right?
Well, I tend to disagree. People don't know what it is. And like you, the proviso in the beginning, you mentioned you were distancing it from a Native Indian, American culture. And so that goes to show that people don't really know what it is.
True. Yeah. And ultimately, I would actually like to call what we do trance entering spirit talking.
Okay.
But the... Plauva won't let me because it doesn't really roll off the tongue, but it's the most descriptive, right? In that what it comes down to is that all humans are born with this natural gift that they can have naturally or they can develop, which is entering into trance and talking with spirits, entering into that spirit world. And, you know, mediums obviously do it in their own way. And shamanic practices, obviously the key there is the drum. Right? Listening to, but it's really just one way of induction, right? Then there's meditation, there's other ways of inducing that trance. In the shamanic method, of course, you're listening to a beat per minute of about 210 beats per minute. And that enters, that basically has this effect on your nervous system where it enters you into trance. You know, but there's so many other techniques, that's the thing. I mean, and entering into trance isn't just something unique to humans, right? This is something that happens to a lot of animals. You can put a chicken into trance, hypnotize a chicken by putting its beak down on the ground, taking a piece of chalk and drawing a line slowly away from the beak. It'll stay there in trance for half an hour.
Wait a minute. Those of you who are just simply listening, don't see me giving him the time out so I don't have to talk over him. All right. Now, when you say they will enter trance by putting there, you can use hypnosis. Now that's my field too. So, you know, the chickens have to move out of the way. Now look, hypnosis is something you do to someone, you facilitate and they enter. Shamanism is something that, as you know, your description is leading me to say, is something that the person themselves look for and do for the purpose of communicating in the spirit world. Am I saying something that aligns with you?
Well, it's yes. I think we are talking about similar things here. Ultimately, you know, ultimately though, you don't have to do the drumming yourself, let's say.
Of course not.
It is an external phenomena that will have that effect on you, right? So you can listen to a drum track and enter into that trance state. So it is, you know, in a same kind of similar way, it is like having that hypnotic
I understand.
Phenomena affecting you. right?
Sure.
And ultimately, yeah, at the end of the day, there's this spirit world out there, right?
Well,
and
even so at the beginning of the day,
entering into this non-standard.
They're out there. The spirit world is out there. It is here. It's here with us now. Yeah. But you say everyone can do it. Everyone has the capacity to do it. And I assure you that most of the people that come to me, my clients, how can I? And of course, I, like you, do tell them how they can. But it's not necessarily the case that they are able to in the end.
Well, what we find is different temperaments and talents require different techniques, right?
Okay.
And so, of course, we do find that there is this division between kind of left brain people and right brain people, right?
Okay.
So something like shamanic journeying, where you're listening to that drum, there's a lot of like the sense of letting go, right? Mm-hmm. And it really works for people who can let go, and especially works for people who tend to be kind of right brain. Right? That kind of mm-hmm. creative kind of, but if you're kind of deeply logical and you want to kind of control, there's other techniques that work for that.
Okay.
One of the techniques actually that we teach that, and so this is why we say anyone can do it, mm-hmm. but there's different ways in,
okay.
right? Just like in hypnosis, uh-huh. right? You would use a different script for different people,
sure.
right?
Perfect.
And so what we find is that there are things called trance postures, and these are based on very old, this is based on research that was done on basically old pottery and such, where you show where there's people within these trance states. And ultimately, you can take the body, right? You can basically go into certain postures and you can enter into these deep trance states because of the way that you're holding the body. So it's this deeply embodied way of doing things, mm-hmm. which is different from from drumming, which is tends to be more internalized, right? So mm-hmm. there's lots of different ways to do these things.
Sure. Let me ask Laova a question, if you don't mind. Laova, can you describe, because you say you teach shamanism, all right? Give me, let's say I come to you, I'm a member of the public, and I knock on your door, your website, I get in touch with you through the podcast, and I say, look, I really would like to improve my ability to communicate with the spirit world. How can I go about it? What do you suggest to me? I'm talking about the services that you provide. Do you say, look, we have package 1, 2, or 3. Package 1 does this. Tell me how what I'll be looking at if I go to your website.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, so, well, we have two courses right now, and one is called Shamanic Apprenticeship, and the other course is the Spiritcraft Mentorship.
Oh.
So the difference, there's two difference here. The shamanic one is more based on the core shamanism. You can see along the line of like other school like Michael Arner or Sandra Ingerman. But we're not focusing on just the spirit animals mm-hmm. aspect of it. We're open to all type of spirits. Mm-hmm. And so the way we present that program is that every week you have an email.
Yeah,
and you receive information to how to explore the spirit world, how to communicate. You know, we let you meet with your guardian spirit. That's the first spirit you meet with, and then you we
like
meet together. And I
homework.
I teach you, like
you give them homework, sort of.
Yes, and we meet uh-huh. every like it depends on what you choose, but we meet every 2 weeks or every month, and then during that time we see if there is any blockages in their work, and of course they also have access to me anytime by email if there's anything happening. And so during the program, it's a 18-month program.
Okay.
And it's not just about connecting with the spirit world. There's a lot of healing technique as well. So it's a soul healing, mm-hmm. And also ancestral healing and connecting also with nature. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say this is a one-on-one, or do you group people together in sessions?
Oh, yeah. So it is a one-on-one, but we do have a student forum where they can discuss together and where mm-hmm. we answer their question, and where we also provide a monthly, we have a monthly gathering, okay. a Zoom gathering with everyone.
Okay, so so now I'm, I have a session with you, and then once a month I get to powwow with all of the other people so we can exchange our ideas. What about the other program that there was a keyword mentorship? What was that? What is that about?
Oh, the Spirit Craft one. That is the program, in fact, that Eric is teaching. I'm more like the shamanic one. Eric does the Spirit Craft one. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit Craft program...
Wait a minute. Laova, let us ask him. Since it's his program, you talk, Eric. give Laova
Certainly.
A break.
So ultimately, Spirit Craft, the Spirit Craft program, it's basically for...
Spirit Craft.
It's for those who are more right brain, right? So mm-hmm. those who are, no, left brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always get those confused. So left brain. So it's those who want kind of a more logical, kind of contractual way of interacting with the spirit. Mm. So it's based on a lot of more sacred ceremony and a lot of more ceremonial interactions with the spirit world. It's based on a lot more kind of pagan ideas, a lot more kind of connecting with the spirits in by creating a symbiosis, right?
Wait
so symbiosis.
Hang on just a second, yeah. Eric. Now, if I go to the website, I see these two offerings. Is one a prerequisite of the other? Mm. No.
They are completely different paths, basically. So the shamanism apprenticeship exists for those who want to engage in kind of the shamanic journeying style of interacting with the spirit world, right? Uh-huh. So this is why we always say, you know, different temperaments and talents, so different techniques. Uh-huh. And then the spirit craft, you know, that is targeted for those who are more, you know, who want this kind of contractual interaction with the spirit. So in other words, it's this idea of symbiosis, right? So I scratch your back if you scratch mine. It's a mm-hmm. way of connecting with the local spiritual ecosystem that you exist within.
Why would you want to do that?
It makes life very interesting. So essentially what we're talking about here is, you know, let's say you're living next to a forest, mm-hmm. right? Something that you can do is start to create connections with that forest, with that spiritual ecosystem that exists around you. And there's a great amount of beings living in that forest, far apart from any kind of, you know, disembodied humans. You're mm-hmm. talking about elementals. You're talking about mm-hmm. Nature spirits, all this. And ultimately, you can start to connect.
Please describe elementals and define that for the audience.
Elementals, they are very interesting beings. You're talking about being, okay, well, we kind of had to then backtrack a second and just mm-hmm. say that, you know, you can look at existence as there being kind of, there's a large amount of quibbling over terms, but an astral realm or what we call a liminal realm, kind of this in between the physical and the spirit world. There is a realm of existence out there that's just across a veil, right?
All right.
And
now,
in
let's
that
say,
we have...
Would that be similar? I call this a peri-spiritual place, if I'm not mistaken, where and where earthbound souls thrive. Is this mm-hmm. similar to what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah. So it's that kind of that in between where you have the pure consciousness of the spirit world mm-hmm. interacting still with time and space.
Yes,
right. And so within there, of course, absolutely, there's where your earthbound souls are going to be because they are that disembodied consciousness, that pure consciousness, mm-hmm. still relating to time and space. However, there's other things existing there, we find. Elementals would be one example where you have a consciousness that is very closely aligned with a particular element, let's say, you know, one of the four classical elements, earth, mm-hmm. air, fire, water. And they are living lives in relation to how those elements are expressed in nature, right? So, for instance, you would have beings existing in relation to a waterfall, right? Mm-hmm. That are living within consciousness that is not bound by our kind of restraints. And mm-hmm. so they are able to live in and exist among something that they find very attractive, right? That resonates with their own internal nature.
So they are not earthbound souls?
No.
They, go ahead.
I would say not, well, earthbound, they are certainly living on Earth, and they are consciousnesses. But if soul, by soul you mean, you know, a formerly a human? No.
That's what I meant, formerly a human. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who, for some reason, because of trauma or whatever, are still tied to the Earth, and that's not their natural place. And elementals, this then opens another question for me. It begs the question, well, where did they come from? Who are they? Have never been incarnated then.
Right. Well, I would certainly say that consciousness is something that permeates this entire universe, right? Yeah. And ultimately, you and I, we are examples of embodied consciousness, right? Consciousness that has taken on a body within this physical world.
Okay, so now, forgive me for interrupting now. When you say consciousness, you're speaking of consciousness as if it were synonymic with the soul.
I would say that would be a safe assessment in terms of how an individual soul is a patterning of the consciousness, if you will. Think about the Buddhist metaphor, right? That there is this ocean of consciousness, and we're each a wave on that that ocean. And so, you know, an individual soul is a particular pattern existing within a pattern of consciousness existing within that sea of consciousness that has its own existence, has its own identity, for as long as that, you know, that pattern continues to cause change in this sea.
Okay, a couple of metaphors there, but they were used well. I agree very, you know, very closely to that. Yeah. So you're saying that the second offer that you have, the left brain, if I'm correct in remembering, is something that will allow you to come into contact with elementals as part of nature and be able to, in some way, raise your level of awareness or sensitivity to the world, your context that you live in. But it has to do with the elements. And can I ask, as a curiosity, do you find that people prevail in choosing door number one or door number two, the right brain or the left brain? Do you find you give more shamanism classes or more of the other type?
Certainly find more of the shamanism. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
think it's, I think that is representative of who tends to be more interested in spirituality as well. You know, in other words, you know, you tend to have more of that, that right brain approach, you know, intuitive, creative approach to those who are coming to spirituality.
Really, really? Is it like a ratio of 1 to 3, or how much more?
I'd say 4 to 1, actually.
Ah, but yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's
But we also have a student that they like to take both at the same time.
Of course. Yeah. At the same time, you would say. That's interesting. Yeah. And, well, that begs the question, how is it organized, the second service? Is it does it alternate weeks with the shamanism? How is that organized?
Oh, no. It's if you take both, you're going to have a lot to do. You know, it's
a lot,
you know,
of homework.
Time is short on this life, you know, and if you want to get something done, get to it, right?
Yeah.
And we're all slowly approaching that time where we're not going to be here anymore. Might as well get it done.
We'll be changing.
And so it's weekly, it's just, once again, it's weekly assignments,
same
weekly
thing.
Lectures, weekly assignments. And, you know, it's something that people, if they are, you know, if they have that mindset where they want to get it done, they can easily do both.
Of course.
It's a shamanic journey a week plus plus an activity a week. You know, you can find room for that in a weekend.
Now, can I ask you, what made you offer two? Is there, in Italian, we say there's a dream in our or a wish in our drawer. In that drawer, do you have a wish of offering something else? Has that occurred to you? Is that in the process, in the works now?
Well, one of the things that we really want to get out there mm-hmm. Is actually the shamanic trance postures. This is a big part of the practice that we've really wanted to get out there in a much broader way.
So that means
there's a lot of power to it.
That would mean that the first shamanic course would be a prerequisite to that.
Kind of a long side type thing. But once again, it's this kind of different temperaments and talents requiring okay. different methods, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're happy with shamanic journeying, that is a powerful thing to be doing. And so you don't really need the trance postures, even though it's helpful, right? It would mm-hmm. be helpful, or it is helpful.
But what would it be helpful for?
You want to cover that?
Yes, go, Laova.
What I found is that a lot of people, like, they can sometimes they have problem to get into that trance, to mm-hmm. get into that sweet
yes.
spot when you can, like, you know, be calm and your mind is aside and you're down here at your heart and you mm-hmm. can have this, like, kind of soul communication, heart-based communication mm-hmm. with your guides and the spirit world. So what I realized over time is that a lot of it has to do with, like, if you can't calm your mind, then we'll start with the body. Mm-hmm. And by studying all these different postures from different culture and mm-hmm. different, you know, statue that they're making from millennia, right? Mm-hmm. They are bringing that kind of quality, because then you're working your body.
The people, or when you say they are.
Yeah. Sorry. Let me interject. So these types of trance postures, they mm-hmm. are basically recorded on ancient art, ancient religious art, ancient pottery and such, going back millennia. Mayan, Aztec, Celtic, mm-hmm. very much built into the kind of representations of spiritual figures that you have in this early material. They aren't just choosing how they are representing these people by accident, right? They are representing it based on showing, okay, this is a person in trance, this is a person in religious ecstasy, right? And so there is that deeply embodied way of tapping into that. Right.
Wait. So I'm missing something.
This is some lost knowledge here.
I'm missing something because you're saying they again, and I don't understand. You mean the artists, the original artists, the way they? Is that what you mean by they?
Yes. The artists of these early cultures uh-huh. who are basically okay. representing people within religious ecstasy, and they're mm-hmm. showing. Mm. They're basically giving you a guide by mm-hmm. how they're presenting these people as to the embodied practices that these people were doing. Right?
Mm-hmm. So the embodied practices, if I understand correctly, is another level of a trance state, and it would require a higher, let's say, a greater amount of control over what you are doing. And would that be or not?
No, I would say it's a different type of getting into a trance. Mm-hmm. It's more like a tool. Okay, so because let's say you have your drum, okay,
right,
and you use the drum and you can, you know, just be in that state of mind. Some people, what they like to do is ecstatic dance, when you just mm-hmm. you know, let the flow going, or other technique is soul singing, so when you just sing whatever mm-hmm. sound that has to come out, and at some point you feel that shift, and it's very difficult to explain with word,
right.
But it's just you know when you're aligned
yes
within you, and kind of the mind quiets down,
right,
and
right.
you're more receptive. So when you're in that state, there's many ways to get there, you know, to get to that point where you are receptive.
Yes.
And so the trance posture or just one way to do it.
Okay.
And if I may interject, something that's happening there is that if you look at the way that the mind and the body interact, if your body is really upset, right? Let's say that you're walking down a hallway and someone jumps out and goes, boo, right? Your body gets all upset, right? All the chemicals are released and you're ready for fight or flight and all this. But your mind knows, okay, this is just my friend who played a trick. And so your mind can calm down your body. But the reverse is also true. Your body can calm down your mind, right? So this is the essence of shamanic journeying versus trance postures. Shamanic work is that inner work that also then has the effect on putting your body into a deep trance. And so it's that kind of mind-based way of getting in. But then you can also take the body and you can enter into these postures that have this effect of connecting you, opening yourself up to the universe or calming you or all this. And then that has an effect on your inner life, right? So that's the idea of these trance postures. This is kind of how they are working it towards the same purpose, but in different ways.
Okay.
And so a trance posture is very useful for, let's say, you know, you're really big on shamanic journey and you enjoy it. But let's say you've had a really bad week, right? And you're really stressed. You might find it difficult then in that week to calm down your mind enough to enter into that state. So what you would do instead would be you would enter that posture. And by entering that posture, you're focusing on the body and not the mind. And so if the body is calm, then the mind will follow.
Okay. I'm nodding my head yes, and then side to side like the Indians do. And when they say yes, but for me, it's okay, I'll accept that. But let me ask you this. What made that, the trance posturing, what made that a likely third candidate to offer the public? Is there just a natural progression, or did you have also other ideas?
Well, it's one of these things where absolutely there are other ideas, and we're probably going to end up with 20 courses in the end.
Good for you.
But it's one of these things where we are starting out with what, you know, tends to be a relatively easy way in for people, which is the shamanic journeying. But then it's always addressing any issues that emerge, right? So different people, you know, I would say that a good percentage of the population is capable of the shamanic journeying, right?
Yes.
But it's always that goal to open up these levels of abilities and these levels of experience to other people, right?
Yes. And also, you know, when you do the shamanic journeying, it requires a lot of your vision. Usually people that can, like a shamanic journey, I'm not sure if we described it so
we
far.
We haven't, no.
Okay, so let's describe it. It's important. It's like a vivid dream, you know? You go deep inside, right. And then you have vision, but you also use the rest of your body, right? You can smell, mm-hmm. You can see, you can hear, and not... It's not very vibrant for everybody, right? So some people, they are seeking that connection with the spirit world. They cannot really access it with their vision, which is very prominent in shamanic journeying. So they are seeking this experience. And the more I see it, when I want to do the trance posture, because you're receiving, you're connecting, you can heal yourself in a different way. So that's but still trance work, still with the spirit world.
Okay,
yes.
So you mean a form of lucid dreaming? Yeah.
Yes, it is. So you go in this deep trance and then you're in, that's right, you're like right, you have one foot in the material world and one foot in the spirit world. And in fact, if you talk about how we start the journey, it's like when you are in the trance, you are aware of what we call the middle world or the other side of the veil, this mm-hmm. kind of embedded reality between, you know, this just in between mm-hmm. the spirit world and the material. And then you can travel and go down in what they call the lower world, or you can travel up and kind of in another plane of reality, right? And I'm going far, but so when you're mostly your consciousness is kind of go traveling in the spirit world, and then where you have access to guides that are more elevated, more wise, okay, you know, not with an agenda and so mm-hmm. on.
So let's say this idea of going down is, you know, it is, I'm wondering if you are putting it on the same level as the difference between light and dark. Going down would be dark and going up would be light. Is that similar or completely different?
No, completely different, okay. In fact.
Okay.
In fact, and this is, here it's, I mean, to me, the spirit world, it is infinite. There's mm-hmm. infinite level that you can travel. But if we go with the basic, usually when you go down, it is related to nature, to Mother Nature. So if you go, let's say, in the lower world, it won't be kind of the underworld that we know, mm-hmm. Like in other okay. you know, culture. It's more like you go down through the earth, and then you arrive in a kind of similar kind of earth, and it's nature. So you connect with nature, spirit, mm-hmm. Like power animals, plant spirit, rock spirit. It's very earth-like, a lot of nature feel. Mm-hmm. And let's say we have a difference here. You want to connect with wolf spirit, for
right.
example. You really like mm-hmm. the wolf. Okay, so here's the difference. Let's say you are in the middle world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll go back to the middle world. And you want to connect with the wolf spirit there. This wolf will have his own, it's a wolf that was used to be embodied, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it is a ghost wolf. So this wolf can have an agenda of its own and so on. It might ask for something in return. Like mm-hmm. it will say, okay, I will guide you, no problem, but I want an offering of a steak, for example.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So now the difference is that if you go in the lower world, so you're not in the middle anymore, then and you access the wolf spirit, you can see it as kind of the great spirit of all the wolf. And this one is compassionate, is infinite, and it will interact with the wolf wisdom itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the difference. And this is why when you do the shamanic journeying, then you want to travel like in the spirit world completely. And same with the upper world. In the upper world, there is the ancestral realm. And this is usually what we do. We make the difference between an healed ancestor
right.
and a unhealed ancestor, the one that are bound, still bound to the
earth. Bound.
To the
mm-hmm.
earth. Yeah.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. interesting, this healed and unhealed. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Now, I have a good handle on what you do as professionals, let's say. I have less of an understanding of what brought you individually to do this together. Can I ask, one at a time, I'm outnumbered here. have you practiced individually something similar with a different style, a different name, a different something, and then together you decided to do this? Or how was that? When you got, you know, when you met and then you started getting to know each other, where were you along your paths?
So I suppose I'll start because I think I started a little earlier than you.
Okay.
So I started when I was 12.
Right.
I was inspired to, I went on a very lovely trip to England. And when there, I went to all the stone circles, mm-hmm. Avebury Circle,
right.
Stonehenge and all that.
Uh-huh.
And when I got back to Canada, I was absolutely enraptured by this old path, right? And so I started consuming books on, you know, druidry and Celtic shamanism and all this, right? And that was my entry way into shamanism. And of course, then I went down the rabbit hole of just shamanism itself. But at the same time, definitely getting big into the esoteric, Hermeticism, Western Mystery School. So I've basically been all over
right.
the map when it comes to the esoteric, occultism, shamanism, right?
Well,
so
yeah, no, this makes
when
me
we
think,
met, it was
Eric,
a combination.
What did you study? Because you started at 12, right? So that was pre-high school. Now,
mm-hmm.
or just right you know, right before the beginning of high school. So it was top of the middle school and, you know, class trip. So then you went into high school. Did you go on after high school to study? And if you did, what did you entertain as studies for yourself?
Interesting. Curiosity. So I would say, well, I would say more of self-studies, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, accessing, you know, I was the kid going to the local bookstore, checking mm-hmm. out the New Age section very yeah. vigorously, right? Mm-hmm. I also did study under the Society of Fairy Shamans,
which was
created by a lovely woman out in Alberta. Unfortunately, she recently passed away, but she definitely taught kind of a form of shamanism that was embodied within kind of an ancient Celtic kind of understanding of things. And then, of course, in my 20s, I actually experimented a bit with Thelema. Don't know if you are aware of that one. It's a form of the Western mystery tradition of occultism. And essentially it's similar to what some of the occult lodges were doing in mm-hmm. the 18th century in England. There was like the Golden Dawn, that mm-hmm. The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn,
right.
which basically was a Masonic society that was bringing back these old kind of magical practices from Kabbalah and from Eastern Tantra. They were kind of creating this merge or this mixture. And so then you had Thelema, which came out of that. And so in essence, in my early 20s, I was, you know, getting together with guys in dark rooms with lots of candles and robes. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, and calling down our holy guardian angel and such to connect mm-hmm. with kind of higher levels of existence. So I was doing that kind of thing. But eventually I started coming back to a more kind of nature-based way of connecting with spirituality.
So it was interesting, this going through the hermeneutic, you know, the Golden Dawn, which is quite Middle Ages like, you know, I mean, and you mm-hmm. mentioned this, the esoteric sector, what did you call it? The New Age, when it was called the New Age, they don't call it even that anymore. Esoteric is probably a word, but so then let's say you broke free from the shackles of the Golden Dawn. Am I correct in saying that?
It was more of a shift. It was more of a shift in thinking. I'd always been very attracted to kind of to the nature-based approach, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. To things like paganism, things like Wicca, right? Mm. Of course, I found those, they're all basically the one thing that I've found over the years, right? Is that everything, when we're connecting with the spirit world, everything works, right? It's just all a different aesthetic, right? Yeah. And so what's important is to find the aesthetic that works for you, because the spirit world is coming through in so many different ways, right? Ultimately, the spirit world is this thing that is actually ineffable. It's difficult for us to even describe, and incomprehensible, right? Like if you don't have time and space, what's that like, right?
Yeah, right.
You can't even comprehend. And so, you know, the spirits, they take pity on us. They look at our metaphors. They look at our spiritual vocabulary. And they say, okay, how can we come through to this person? Mm-hmm. How can we interact with them in a way that they can comprehend and understand, right? It's like describing the stock market to a five-year-old kid, right? You're going to use metaphors, and you might use different metaphors based on for different kids, right? They're interested in cars, or if they're interested in anything, you know, you'd use different metaphors. And so I very much find that, you know, every spiritual system works, and for connecting with the spirit world, it all works, but it's just the aesthetic that appeals to you, and therefore that you can really embody mm-hmm. and feel within your existence and connect mm-hmm. with, right?
Yeah.
And so my aesthetic then was very much getting in touch with nature, getting in touch with the healing of the mm-hmm. soul through working with spiritual guides and such, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they need more of a hierarchical approach where they need, you know, mm-hmm. these higher intelligences that are instructing them and all this. But I find the conversational approach of shamanism is very powerful and very, very useful. Yeah, so that's where I was when I met with Laova.
Laova, where did you come from?
Well, for me, it was a very different path, mm-hmm. very different from Eric. First, I grew up, it's important for me to say I grew up in a Catholic household.
Yes, so did I.
So,
we know what that's like.
Yes, and the thing is that we were living in a haunted house, and the only thing, like, my sister was seeing the ghosts, I was sensing them. We never really do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother was like, just pray to God, you'll be fine.
In part, she's right.
And it's like, and it's true. I mean, yeah. Like, we were fine after that. Like, and then it just never went further than, you know, talking about the spooky experience around a campfire. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was okay. And then I grew up and I was not out of touch with the spirit world. You know, I had a, you know, start university, go to be with someone that was toxic. All right. So after, you know, my teenage years with at the haunted house, you know, I had my regular 20, you know, going to university, being in a relationship, but the relationship was toxic to me. It was not a good one. I've been in it for 4 years and I finally decided to leave. But it left me, I felt broken. I felt like something was missing.
But that's a long time. 4 years.
Yeah.
Was it the entire university college level that you had this relationship?
No, but I mean, like, it was like in between. I stopped going to school.
Oh, see, I see.
It's complicated.
Oh, it's complicated.
I mean, it was during that time.
It's life.
And yeah, but so I left him. I felt, you know, that I had to heal myself. So I started meditation and starting to explore spirituality. And the more I was doing meditation, the more strange things start happening to me again.
Like what? And what? Like what? Strange things.
Yes, so for example, there was a funeral. I had a new boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. It was the funeral of his grandfather. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So after that, you know, we went to bed. He was lying beside me. And I felt like someone or something wanted to connect with me.
Yeah.
So I said yes, but I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And then what happened is that my mouth opened and the spirit entered my mouth and I feel like it entered my brain. And so now I had no control I was afraid. And my head turned on the side and was looking at him with big, big eyes. And then I was not speaking, but I heard a voice in my mind. It was the voice of his grandfather. Mm-hmm. And it said, you know, he said, his name, take care of your family. And he said, it is dad, take care of your family. And then went away.
Good.
And I have shivers. And then now, after that, I start crying. And he said, what happened? You were fixating me. What was that? I said, you will never believe me. You will never believe me. And
he never believed you. So you left him too.
No, he did believe me. He did. Yeah, but because I said, he said, dad. And I mean, isn't he your granddad? Like, I mean, his dad was still alive, right? He said, yeah, it is a nickname that he asked for a grandfather. I didn't even know that. So it kind of was a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So like things like that keeps, you know, happening that I was not able to explain. And finally, I in the same day, I asked two friends. I said, do you know a medium? Because I need to talk to someone that knows how to talk to spirit, because I don't know what's going on with me.
Yeah.
And they don't know each other. They say, we don't know a medium. They say, I don't know a medium, but I know a shaman. They didn't know the same one.
I see.
But then I'm like, shaman, okay.
Sounds good.
And so this is, I mean, anyone I can speak to spirits, I'm open, right? And so I didn't know anything about shamanism. Mm-hmm. And so I met with a native shaman. And she was living in Ottawa, and she asked me if I had any kind of native blood, which I said, yes, I do. My great-grandmother is native. Well, she was native. And then she said, okay, then she gave me like the basic, and in 15 minutes also, she pretty much described what would happen to me, to my life, for the next year. You know, she said, you will have a very difficult fall. I see you working with children, and so on. And I said, she said, you're overdue to work with the spirit. She's kind of like,
you know, and I'm like, I like her.
Okay. And yeah, she was pretty much straightforward. I really loved her. And so she put me on the path of shamanism pretty much because of the course of that year, it was just, she was on spot. I mean,
yeah,
my apartment went on fire.
Oh my God.
I had like contract. I had like tons of contract for art school. I studied fine art. I started having tons of contract to teach children.
Which came out of left field, right? You'd
never done
it that came before. Out of the blue. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, then we moved a lot. I mean, I had a separation with that
of course,
boyfriend
the poor
at
boy.
The time. Yeah. And boom, boom, boom. And yeah, so I just decided, you know what? This is powerful. She was able to close her eyes.
Yeah.
She knew me for 10 minutes and she knew what would happen to me for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Funny though, during that period, you still were being encouraged by the spirits to work harder, right? With the mirror, with the mirror incident.
Yeah, with the mirror
incident. What is the mirror incident?
So that's, and this is why I'm fascinated by trance work, is that I think I want to start with that. We can enter trance in many, many ways. And so I did a art workshop online where you go into a meditation and then you do painting.
Right.
And then I go down the stairs here. It's a break time. I go down the stairs and in front of my stairs, there's a big mirror.
Yeah.
And so when I turn, it's the bathroom. So, but I was kind of grabbed to stay in front of the mirror. You know, it's like, whoa.
You felt and then, someone was grabbing you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I look at myself in the mirror, but it's as if, it's hard to explain, but it's as if I was in the mirror and someone was in me talking to in the mirror.
I know. It's fabulous.
And I never happened to me before, right? Yeah. So it was, whoa. And I felt like it was an ancestor telling me, you know, you have to continue this work. You do what you got to do. And this is how I changed my life. You
how
know?
Old were you at that time when that mirror incident occurred?
I was 25. Yeah.
All right. Because the exact same thing happened to me twice, but I was 13 and I was 17. And my parents thought I was depressed. And brought me to the doctor. And I did too. I couldn't communicate with everybody. I was so, so frightened. And the first time the doctor, you know, you can imagine this Italian family go to the Italian doctor. They say, look, Mr. Monticelli, either you send her to Florida or let's start, you know, she needs a rest. She needs a rest. So we started with a multivitamin treatment. And it took 10 days. I was out of it. 17 years old, the exact same thing happened. And I was in the mirror, I was shocked. I was completely shocked. I didn't know what was happening. And there too, get out the vitamins, the multivitamins. 3 days I was back to normal. But I was stuck. It wasn't like you were conscious and you're processing. I was stuck. And to this day, I, you know, still think that it was one of the turning points of my life, both of these times. What happened to you after that, Laova? Then what did you decide to do?
So well, then I start learn. I met other people. You know, it's everything unfold.
Right,
you know, I met
people
that were into shamanism that
another.
I didn't even know.
Right,
and I did take some workshop with a shamanic school as well, and it's give me a lot of confidence to find my own way at the same time. And eventually I met Eric. And he pretty much was my cheerleader to be like, we go all in. And the thing is that we really complete each other. He's kind of a walking library of knowledge of all that is like spiritual.
How long ago did you meet?
Oh, 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's very recent, very recent.
Yeah.
And is your business, does your business also date back to that? Has it been 3 years, 2 years, more or less? How long?
pretty much 2 years.
Two years.
And what about the podcast?
Oh, the podcast, it's a relatively new arrival. About a year. We've been doing Q&As since the beginning, but yeah, the podcast is...
prompted you to start that podcast?
Well, really, it started off as a way of just communicating with our students, right? Yeah. To give kind of a bit of extra content to the students. And really, at the beginning, we just started putting our student Q&As on there, right? So any kind of extra questions that they were asking, it's like, well, we might as well answer it to everybody.
Right.
Put it on there, right? So.
And how often do you have episodes? Is it a weekly or bi-monthly or bi-weekly?
Pretty much, actually, as frequently as questions come up, and then as frequently as we have interviews. It's you know, some weeks I go through there and I'm literally posting a 8-minute session every day. And then others, you know, it's like there's two or just one. It depends on how busy we are. And
I see.
It really is kind of this mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And so we don't really have a regular schedule, but it's more like, well, if you're interested in this stuff, it's going to be a whole, you know, and if you can kind of just get in there and binge, there's going to be a whole lot of information there.
Pretty much.
So now, where can my audience find you? What can you spell out the website? What is it? What's the address?
Sure. Yes, it's spiritworldcenter.com. Mm-hmm. And center is spelt the American way with the E-R at the end.
Okay.
Not the R-E.
And we mentioned your podcast at the beginning. And can you repeat that for us?
Yeah, certainly. That is the Spirit World Center podcast. And that is available on all your various podcast apps and streaming platforms like Spotify and all that.
Okay. What about any social media? Do you have social media that works for you where they can interact or listen?
Yes. We do have we have Spirit World Center on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then the other big account we have is Spirit World Center on Instagram. And that one is spirit_world_center.
Uh-huh. All right, good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on this show. It was my pleasure to have you, and I'm sure that my audience will really appreciate this. And there'll be so much to talk about in the future, and maybe we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
We have
a lot of stories still to share.
But what I really do have to thank you both for being so amenable to my way of trying to get the secrets out and exposing your personal lives. That was really so bearing your soul, so to speak. Thanks again. And until we meet again. Bye-bye, Eric. Bye-bye, Lova.
Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.